Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode number 16 of That Android Show. And this time, it's all about Google I.O., which is just wrapping up in San Francisco, California. We have all sorts of news and insights to talk about I.O., as well as your iReports and questions and mailbag and some other cool things as well. An update on Google Hangouts from Joe and Ricky as well. So I'm JJ Meadow.
I'm Axis Anna.
And I'm Steve, the blind geek.
And why don't we, without further ado, go into the latest Android news. Well, this time it's all about Google I.O. The keynote was recently completed, so we got to hear what a long keynote. I think it started at 9 Pacific, and it went to 12:30, 12:40. Man, if you're there, you didn't get lunch. They kind of just killed the lunch break. But quite a few things that were announced, and then perhaps some things that weren't announced. A lot of us, I think, were expecting Android 4.3 or a new tablet. We didn't get any of that.
I like the way Wired.com put it. They said that this conference was going to be quieter. It was going to give Google developers more of what they wanted rather than launching Google products. So nothing was launched. For developers, there were two interesting tools. One was a developer studio environment, which would help them code. And the other was an analyzer, which would, for example, notice that a lot of people in Russia are downloading the app, so it would suggest, say, a Russian translation. And so that's exciting. And I mean,
you could hire a translator. That through yeah. their that's an interesting little marketplace that they created.
Yeah, it'd be good, though, if the analyzer could analyze accessibility as well, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm hoping. I'm really hoping it notices that people with accessibility running, install the app and then uninstall it 30 minutes later.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if that's a data point. And when they were talking about the developer tools and how it will provide hints to developers, will it notice unlabeled icons and things like that and give that as a
exactly. tip? Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what happened at Google I.O. 2013. What didn't happen and what everybody expected to happen, well, number one was the launch of 4.3 or 5.0, and that just didn't happen. So it was kind of funny to read all of these articles leading up to Google I.O., especially the ones that were actually submitted at like 9 a.m. Pacific time that were saying, yeah, Google I.O. is expected to launch and 4.3 confirmed. So that was kind of hysterical.
Oh, right. It was leaked in a changelog. It was leaked on this developer page on Google. Well, it didn't.
Exactly. And there's this picture here.
Yeah, I've seen tweets about people saying that 4.3 has been seen running on Galaxy Nexuses.
So do you think they were originally planning on doing 4.3, or do you think they purposely held it back?
That's what I don't know. But certainly,
Apple's conference is next month. There's a lot, maybe they want to do a little bit of wait and see.
Windows also has a conference coming up.
And here's the other thing. Both of these conferences, Google's and Apple's WWDC, they are developer conferences. They're not really – they've taken on an end-user tone because, the end-user news creates news, and that's a lot more cool to talk about than developer news. But you have 6,500 developers in the room watching the keynote. You don't have 6,500 end-users. These are all pretty much programmers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And programmers that want to learn programming stuff. And
you want to get them excited first.
Yes, because they fill your store, and ultimately you're about selling. So there was no OS, and it sounds like no OS is forthcoming, because one of the things that was announced at the conference was the sale of an Android device running 4.2, and we'll talk about that a little later. So it sounds like 4.3 or whatever it's called, it isn't coming out right away. Maybe at the end of the year, who knows? No new hardware was on offer. A lot of people were expecting a tablet or you know, the revival of the Q, things like that, but no new hardware was announced.
Yeah.
I like that. It's very ornamental.
Pixel. Now that yes. Chromebook Pixel. In past years where they've gotten lots and lots of freebies, instead of this year they get one big freebie, which is a grand. That's definitely the value of the conference if that was something that you wanted.
But, definitely. There were also no real stunts except, you know, panning of the picture from Earth to the grand space. Yeah. You know?
But the one thing I did notice, there were a lot of Google updates. Google Earth and maps were updated. Music was updated, Play Music. My phone, around midnight in the UK, was going mad getting updates.
Oh, yeah. There were updates for goggles, for Playbook, Play Music, lots of updates coming out. Yeah. So that was exciting. And the last thing that didn't happen really at the conference is that Google Glass is the product that was touted last year, and it's something that seems really exciting, and they've been leaking information about it here and there, but there was no big announcement about the Google Glass.
It wasn't even mentioned. I mean, really?
Yeah. It sounds like they're trying to motivate. And I mean, it sounds like they're trying to motivate developers to work on Google Glass and produce apps for it, but they didn't really talk about its features in a way that got the public interested. So maybe that's next year. Maybe they feel it's too far ahead.
There was one session that intrigued me, though, and I didn't listen to it because I think it was too late at night over here or something, but it was called something like Void Your Warranty, Hack Your Google Glass. Intriguing.
Those are just starting to go out to developers, so people are just now starting to get them. Not a lot of attendees probably actually had them. I know if you were walking around wearing them at the conference, you know, just to be... think they're the cool cats. But yeah, Glass is definitely one of those things. I mean, what more is there to say about it at the keynote at this point? I guess you could mention it and say, yeah, we're still working on it, but that doesn't really make for news. Let's just do some sessions on it and go from there.
I think the most newsworthy event surrounding Google Glass was that at the end of the keynote, Larry Page took audience questions, and the very first question was from Robert, who introduced himself as one of the world's first glass holes.
Yeah, and he's kind of a well-known. Yeah. I mean, Larry knows the guy. He's definitely one of the more famous.
Yes.
You know, he's a kind of a self-promoting type guy.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. Yeah, Larry Page, for those of you who didn't see the keynote, he spent a good half hour answering questions off the cuff from people, and probably a good dozen, 15 questions. I was kicking myself, and you know, Anna and I were there last year. Like, man, I would have loved to drop an accessibility question there. But
absolutely.
No one did it.
I would have caused a scene. I would have gone there. It's just really... Anyway.
So, yeah, we get that. Okay, the accessibility wasn't mentioned in the keynote. I'm not worried about that because 4.3 wasn't mentioned in the keynote.
Absolutely.
So what is there to say at this point? I mean, sure, what do you want? Another 30-second mention like we got last year? Really, the proof is in how apps come out, and what accessibility is included in newer apps as they come out. And, well, we have some hit and miss again. This is really inconsistent, though. So the Google Music service, it's called Google Play Music All Access. So it's Google's take on streaming music. And, you know, you have Spotify, you have Pandora, you have Rhapsody, and you have a few others. And now you're going to have probably five more choices by the end of the year. It's going to get insane. And they're all kind of similar. And each one has one or two little things that makes better. Google Play Music All Access, for those of you who aren't really familiar, it's more Spotify leaning in that you can pick any song that they have in their catalog, 20 million, and listen to it. You can create radio stations. There is no free option other than a 30-day trial. So if you want it, you can try it out now. Then it's $10 a month or $8 a month if you get it before the end of June. It's U.S. only for now. I'm sure that'll change. But one of the cool things that you can do is that with the playlist that it creates on a radio station, you can kind of look ahead and say, oh, why are you putting this song on my playlist? I don't want to hear that, and kind of swipe it away. Groove Shark does this a little bit, but this is definitely on the most mainstream level, the first to do a feature like that. Now, the app, I think on it, you guys can play with it. We saw some interesting notation in the app.
Yes.
Yeah, it did cause quite a stir on the iFree list because It's a different interface, and it's some people are saying it's not accessible. I got it mostly to work, but I haven't played with it very long, and there are some things I haven't figured out. However, one problem that it does have is that it it has A, unlabeled buttons, and B, buttons with an interesting label of...
Need to do accessibility.
Need to do accessibility.
Accessibility, thank you.
Sounds like they knew what they had to do it.
I guess somebody didn't, you know, turn on accessibility and check or something.
It's like, okay, yeah, it was on their to-do list, but they just didn't get it done in time for the release, and then nobody took that out.
I'm sure that once that's fixed, it'll be much more accessible.
It looked to me, you know, it looked to me that like play, pause, et cetera, I couldn't swipe to those on the player.
No, you can't swipe to those. You can explore to them and they work just fine, but no swiping.
Which is
and
odd. I wonder why are there things in their own, yeah, that are not in their swipe? Why are there icons at all that are not in the swipe order? Which seems to be a more far-reaching problem than just in that app.
Absolutely. And another thing I noticed is that sometimes when I explored, for example, from top to bottom, it would say graphic 86. But if I explored from bottom to top, it would say 80s gold volume 2 or something. So it seemed kind of weird about how
does
it
that reflect your record collection, does it? 80s gold.
She's got soft sound radio going there. Tainted love. Bump, bump. So there's a 30-day trial. There's a web player out too. I did not have much luck with the web player, but I also didn't play with it that much. We'll put the link in the show notes for the web player.
Yeah, and I noticed the same issues with playbooks. You have a lot of those, you know, need to do accessibility. Fortunately, in playbooks, if you explore, it'll say need to do accessibility, and right below that, it'll say the book title with a check mark. So you can figure out what your book is. But again, it's really
odd. The music app, too, the audio ducking and all that you add in the newer TalkBack, that all works like it should. So that's good.
Oh, yeah. Another thing that they talked about at the conference was game APIs. Now, I'm not a gamer, and games tend not to be accessible, so I generally snooze during stuff like that. But one thing that I noticed and that caught my interest was that they mentioned the change in sound API. And I remembered the big controversy we had on the Eyes-Free list over the new TalkBack sounds, which were MIDI files and produced by specific movements. And one of the things that the presenters talked about is how the movement on the screen affects the sound created. And so I understood the context of TalkBack's new sounds a little better, but I wondered if games would be a little more accessible, at least in theory, because the sound does depend on what you do on the screen and who's... they mentioned specifically that the sound would be different if it was someone playing on a tablet versus someone playing on a computer, and the two could be playing together.
All right.
Are either of
that's interesting. You know, well, right. Well, there's a lot of the, as far as the game API, I think you have the possibility of making things accessible with it. As far as the you know, the enhanced audio interfaces that might be available, you know, so if there's more options there, that creates possibilities, especially for games with headphones. Other than that, we don't know much. The racing demo looks interesting. I had some friends that were doing it, and they lined up a bunch of tablets, and they had this racing game where it would go across the track, would kind of form based on all of your different tablets lined up.
Oh my goodness, wow.
This was a demo they had at I.O., so they redid it last night, and it was, you know, it's obviously not accessible. There's definitely some possibility for multiplayer games and things like that. It's going to be one of those things that developers can play with, and if somebody happens to make one of those accessible, so, you know, say someone like Quasi or someone else, you know, well, then we can play with it.
Yeah.
The one more for developers quickly, beta testing, which is kind of an interesting thing. Right now you have the only way to get betas out to people is to either put it up for everybody on the Play Store or to send people the APK file directly, and not everybody can install those, and it's a little more confusing. So they've added kind of a means where people can offer a beta test to a select group of people Or they can do a staged rollout, so you can have your app go out to some people. If you're not, you know, if you have a new feature, but you're not sure if your server can handle 10,000 at a time doing it, you can kind of, you know, roll it out in the stages. So that's a couple more things for developers that would be kind of cool.
And that's really cool because, like you said, a lot of people want to beta test, but they don't know how to load APK files and blah, blah, blah. So this is actually pretty cool. I thought this was a good feature for us. The thing I think I was most excited about was Maps. Now, Google Play services are services that Google offers, like Maps and like Cloud Storage, that developers can make use of. So in theory, they should be able to integrate Maps into their apps more easily now. And this is available for devices running 2.2 and higher, which is great. So it's not device dependent, and it's not something you can get on these devices, but not those. So that's great. But it sounds like there are a lot of cool improvements to Maps.
Visually, they're stunning.
Yeah, visually, they're supposed to be really cool. My mom was looking at some of the stuff they were showing on TV, and she was like, wow, you know. And but some of the cool stuff is activity. And so the app notices whether you're walking or in a vehicle without you having to tell it. It's supposed to really, really save on power consumption. So it said something like it would use 1% of power. I mean, right now, if you use your navigation app to get somewhere, your battery's dead in about an hour. So any improvements to power would be fantastic. They talked about something called Fences, which I'm not really sure I understand yet, so I'm interested to read more about it. And it sounds like activity levels might change as you approach a location or a general area. So obviously I'm thinking about GPS apps that tell us we're getting closer and closer to our destination and things like that. So I'm excited about that.
You know, it'll be interesting too to see if an app like Nearby Explorer or other GPS apps, how they can make advantage or take advantage of that data, and is there more possibility for accessibility with Maps as well? So,
oh, absolutely,
that's, you know, that absolutely could be an interesting API for those people working on those apps to explore and see what might have been possible now that wasn't possible before, especially if they're looking to bring Nearby International or if there's other apps that are playing with that.
Oh yeah, and another thing,
don't talk about Nearby Explorer.
Yep. Well, you know, actually, one tiny little thing, too, and it got about a minute push, but I really like this because I have my phone and I have my Nexus 7. There was a quick mention of synchronized notifications. So instead of having the stupid Facebook thing popping up on all of my devices,
oh,
and
yes,
then having to swipe them away, yes, on all of them, once you kill it on one, theoretically, it will go away on all of them. That is cool.
Nice. That would be cool.
It's funny, yeah, that you should mention Facebook as an example, because that's exactly what I thought of. I thought, oh,
that's the perfect Facebook and Foursquare, the two that jump out at me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. More about Maps is that now, as part of the Maps UI, it sounds like we'll be able to get information about locations. So if I'm looking for a coffee shop, I can type in coffee shop and it'll tell me maybe Starbucks or whatever else. And I will be able to get check for discounts or, you know, coupon-y type things like deals. I'll also be able to, it sounds,
oh,
like,
yeah, with Google offers,
find user reviews. Yeah, so it sounds like there's going to be more.
Doesn't this sound like
Foursquare stuff? So I thought a little bit about Foursquare.
Well, yeah, and then that's, yeah, again, you're right. Well, you see,
yeah,
that a lot.
Isn't Foursquare already doing this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you see that a lot really, it's kind of funny because Google Offers has been out for a while. It really precedes Foursquare's specials, but they didn't, yeah, do a good job of pushing Google Offers to phones. I believe they might have had their own app, but other than that, yeah, it wasn't integrated like it should have been. So
yeah,
while there are some local businesses around here that have Google Offers, nothing too exciting, and I've never used it. Foursquare just pops right up like, oh, it's a special.
Yeah.
Let's see. Another area that got beefed up was Google Plus and the Google Hangouts. And so it sounds like they're trying to combine all of their messaging and sort of IM and video chat and all of that in one area. And the interesting thing is that one of the articles mentioned you no longer need a Google Plus account or profile to do that. I sometimes get annoyed by having to create a profile every time I want to use something. So that would be appealing for some people. But the other part that is interesting is that they're making this available not only to Android and to Chrome, but also to iOS. So it sounds like they're trying to get people interested in this app and in this service.
You know, I noticed that with a lot of their services, they're doing the same with their Google's answer to Game Center. When we're talking about the Play services, the game services stuff a little earlier, they're doing the same thing there. So if you're a developer, why you could develop on Game Center for iOS and then you're sucked into iOS. But if you're going to develop a cross-platform app anyway, you can use Google's Play game services.
Definitely.
And then you get it both at once. And I noticed that, you know, you come back to Plus. There's a lot of this kind of cross-platform that, hey, even if you're not one of the majority that has an Android device right now or is buying one now, well, we still want you to use our stuff. So the website, by the way, seems to have a pretty big redesign, and reports are that's a lot more accessible. So we'll have to play with that.
Definitely.
The Google Plus website, that is.
Definitely.
And we'll have Joe and Ricky will have more on Hangouts a little later in the show.
Yeah, they'll be talking about it. And I think the last thing of note is that there's an upgrade to Google Search, which is the flagship Google product. Now, one of the things that was emphasized throughout the conference is that they've got Android and they've got Chrome, and they're trying to make the two work together well so you can do a lot of what you can do on Android on Chrome and vice versa. And I think Search is where this was most evident. So I think the three of us all use Google now and like it, and we say things like, you know, where's the bus to the mortuary or whatever. And so
maybe that's what you say.
Well, they're all dying to get in there. Right?
Where can I hide
I have
the bodies?
My hobbies. And so it does give you... I don't know where that came from. But
well, it gives you more right. Like, well, they add reminders, which I've been playing with a little bit.
Yeah.
You can say, you know, remind me to take out the trash when I get home. And then it would actually, once it figures out where your home is, so it's doing some of those location-based reminders. Well, it didn't have reminders at all until now. So that was one thing that...
You can do location reminders, can you now?
Theoretically, I'm still working on getting it to work, and I think it's a little bit buggy, but it's coming. If you say, remind me to take out the trash when I get home, it pops up a little thing that says set location for home.
Yeah.
But it knows where my house is because you can set that in Google Now anyway.
Well, that's what I was wondering. So maybe I hadn't set it. Maybe I hadn't done that yet.
You can set that in settings. You set home.
I think you do have to set it because in navigation, when I open navigation, I must have done this and I just don't remember, but it does say home. Yeah. And so if I'm out and about, I can just touch home and it'll start guiding me home. So
there's
probably
no place like home. You click your heels three times and then Google takes you back home.
Exactly. So
the reminders is one of those things that was necessary, but they've added it now. They've added a whole bunch of cards for recommendations, pretty much to get you to buy things, books, music, movies, whatever. Cool. They're doing some of the pronoun stuff that Siri does well, where you can say, you pretty much can ask a question like, you know, where is a coffee shop in Chicago? Right. And then you can say, how far is it to there or something?
Exactly.
And then it'll remember your last question. You know, the cool thing in general about all of this is we don't have to wait for the one time, maybe two times a year when a new version of the operating system comes out for all of these new features. Look at this. This has all been updated without a new version of Android. It's coming to all of our phones, all of our tablets. You know, Maps is updated. Search is updated. Music is updated, and we have all, you know, you're getting up. There's been two TalkBack updates since the last show.
Absolutely. And we're all enjoying updates, even though we may have different versions of Android. And that I actually like that a lot better because I hate having to depend on the phone.
Yeah. You don't get component updates in iOS. You have to wait for a whole operating system update.
Yep. And they haven't had a big update since last September. And they're all kind of, when are we going to get this? Well, we're getting lots of new things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You look at it, we've said this before. You look at
Oh, Acapella, I've started using that recently, and it really has improved. I didn't like it the last time Acapella. I tried it, but it's really nice.
We need to cover at some point. Yeah. They're going after the amusement market now too. Have you noticed some of the new voices? They have the sad sounding voice and the Yoda sounding voice.
Yeah,
I like the one where the guy's yelling at you.
Yes. Totally. Yeah.
Takes me back to Deck Talk when they're whispering Wendy and all that.
There are two more pieces of news to talk about. One we mentioned briefly, but we didn't go into detail. One is that Samsung Galaxy S4.
The Galaxy S4, yeah.
Yes.
Is going to be available through Google Play for, was it $649?
$649, yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be available.
I don't know what it'll be over here.
It'll be available as of June 26th, I think. Anyway, the end of June. And it'll be running 4.2, and it'll be unlocked. So there's going to be no TouchWiz, and it'll be upgradable.
Yeah, well, it'll be running 4.2, unless it was a 4.3 by then, in which case it might be running 4.3. Maybe there's an interesting thought. You know, you're seeing all these 4.3s pop up. Maybe that's people playing with those.
Yeah,
could be.
Who knows? Maybe it's running 4.3 right now. That's
actually a snapshot, so there might be. You never know.
Yeah, I think there's a 4.3 somewhere.
Well, yeah, we know it's coming. Obviously, eventually they're gonna have a new version. It's just gonna be when they're gonna release it on the same day as WWDC and try to steal the thunder.
I totally I bet that's what it is.
Yeah.
And the last piece of news is about Google's effort toward education. Now, in one of my other lives, I'm a teacher, so this concerns me a little bit. I really hope that accessibility is not forgotten in this push. So it sounds like this is something getting tablets into schools. Now, this is actually pretty common. I sometimes teach at community college, and so more and more of my students are showing up with tablets as opposed to computers, and they even use their tablets to take notes and things, which I find amazing. So this effort is to get toward getting tablets into school classrooms for K through 12. And it's also, it sounds like a Play Store-like environment for teachers to recommend apps to each other.
Yeah, curated apps, kind of.
Yeah, and so for one use would be if I assign a textbook to my students, I could send it to all of their tablets so I know they have it. And
the thing about that too, and I've dealing with government sometimes as a part of my business, we see they don't want to do a purchase order for a 99-cent app. You know, they don't want to mess. It's silly.
Yeah.
Some of them can't pull out just a credit card. But if they can do an education account, which is what Google's doing here, and you can buy apps for 50 tablets at once, and you're kind of here to take it off my balance, and you can just buy $500 of Play Store credit or whatever, that's going to make things a lot easier for them to purchase this stuff.
Yeah, and in theory, this is really exciting because, it'd be great for, blind and low vision kids to be able to use the apps and to be able to read the textbooks. So I really hope that for this section, accessibility is really, really, really emphasized because there's nothing more frustrating than having an app that everyone else is using or a book that everyone else has and that you don't. And so I also think that text selection needs to be worked on a little bit because if you're expecting kids to produce content on these tablets, and it would be great because then they could just turn it in with everybody else, that needs to be worked on for this to happen. So I'm really excited about this, but I'm also a little bit nervous. And I hope it works out.
It's like everything else. Accessibility-wise, we're still waiting for 4.3 to see what happens.
Yeah.
And to see if some of these, the couple major things, we say major as in we want them fixed because we've been dealing with them, but these are not, like a couple years ago, these are not deal breakers for someone to think about getting Android. Definitely want to make that clear. I mean, there's a big difference between what doesn't work now and what didn't work.
Oh, absolutely.
What say you, wonder if we can check with the Acapella person and see what they think of this.
Yeah.
I'm the American English speech synthesis voice from Acapella. Proficient, fast and of very high quality. Why not try me out with your own words?
Imagine having that.
Which voice is that?
Yeah.
What do they call that?
Wills, I think.
Is it Will?
The Wills.
That's just classic, isn't it?
We'll be back with more of that Android show right after this.
Hey everyone, Joe Steinkamp from Sarawak, and I'm with one of my coworkers.
Hey everybody, I'm Ricky Inger. Good to be back on that Android show. They don't let me out of my cage often enough to do this, but good to be here now.
And today we're going to talk about Google Hangouts. We've waited a couple of days since Google I.O. and let apps update. And by the way, that's something you'll want to do. Make sure that your Nexus is ease or your Android is up to date. Make sure that you've gone to the Google Play Market and have updated all your stuff. And you might probably have a better time also if you install Google Drive and probably Hangouts, the app itself, and Google Plus. If you don't have any of those programs already installed, you probably want to start out with those immediately. Ricky and I will be using our Nexus 7s running 4.2.2, and then later, gasp, we'll be using an iPhone to discuss some of this. I know, but you know, now that Google has announced at, you know, I.O. that there's a lot of programs coming to iOS, I think it's important that we kind of sort of talk about that from that perspective as well, because you can make a call on iOS and talk to somebody on an Android device. Certainly something you can't do with FaceTime, so that's another reason why we're going to talk about it. But we had a lot of fun trying to get this set up. In fact, we've spent a little bit of an hour playing with this back and forth in various scenarios. Ricky, what did you think?
Well, I was a bit confused because it seemed that initially, even though we had the same software versions on just about everything and were using the same device, that we were having experiences that were not the same. Specifically, I'm talking about when someone initiates a hangout with you and you are accepting a video call, initiating the call is fairly simple. And I've found that it's a bit easier to do this directly from Google Plus rather than opening up the Hangouts app, which is a separate app. If you're doing this from Google Plus, you can kind of overlook a lot of history that whenever you open the Hangouts app, you have, you know, everything you've ever attempted to do with Hangouts, and
with
you can
contact.
Clear yeah. that. But the Google Plus app and initiating a Hangout from there just seems a little more clean as far as the interface goes, and so I prefer that. In any case, accepting a call is a little strange. Joe was able to do it with no problem. I, however, it took some doing. It turns out that if you are moving around the screen, you'll see a notification about an incoming call, and you might think that you could flick right or left from this notification and be able to accept or decline that. You can double tap on the incoming call section of the screen and then see this accept or decline button. The problem is that you've got to know exactly where it is. If you find it just using TalkBack and you're waiting for your finger to be hovering over this and have TalkBack read it, double tapping that section isn't going to work. However, if you know that you're looking directly at the center of the screen and double tapping there, now you're able to flick left or right to decline or answer. Or, of course, you can just move your finger around the screen and find those buttons. But you do need to double tap in the center of the screen, regardless of whether TalkBack tells you that something is there or not.
And if you're approaching it from the low vision way, you will see a whitish box jump to the foreground. And there will be two buttons at the bottom of this whitish box. And the one to the left is decline. The one to the right is okay or answer. What was really interesting was when we did this on my Droid 4 and Ricky called me, it was a little different. And remember that my Nexus is running 4.2.2, but my Droid 4 is running 4.1. And on the phone, it was slide right to accept, slide left to decline, which was different than on my Nexus. So if you're trying to initiate a Google Hangout with somebody on a phone, especially an Android phone, they might actually have a different control. And you didn't have the same problem on the iPhone when we made this call.
That is correct. Interestingly enough, the iOS version of Hangouts is usable. There are lots of unlabeled buttons. For example, the buttons during the call to mute audio or pause video or look at your camera and microphone settings, those are not accessible. However, the button to answer the call is immediately accessible and pops up where you might think it should in the bottom right corner of the screen. Initiating a call from iOS is not quite as easy. You do choose your friend, and then you will see an unlabeled button in the top right-hand corner of the screen, and that button initiates a call with the contact that you've selected. Of course, once you've done that, you have lots of unlabeled buttons, and I haven't discovered which yet would add another person to the call.
And another reason why you want to do this from Google Plus is that if you set up your circles and you want to say, call all your family members at once, you can actually call just a circle as opposed to putting somebody in individually, which is kind of neat. So if you wanted to do like all your coworkers at once and you had all their Google Plus and Google, you know, Hangout IDs, you could, you know, put them into your circles, you know, label that as coworker or, you know, just call your immediate family. And that's a lot easier than, say, trying to do that in Skype or some other thing. So there are some goods and some bads to this. And certainly using Google Plus on an Android tablet is a little better experience than trying to use it on iOS. So there are some ups and some downs. The buttons that Ricky spoke of, though, you could actually hear those with TalkBack. So with TalkBack, you were able to hear the mute audio, mute video, end call, change settings. Like if you wanted it to go to wired headphones or Bluetooth headphones, there's an actual audio button in the center, bottom left, at the bottom center that allows you to change these things with a checkbox. The other interesting thing is on my phone, TalkBack muted to come out of the speaker where you put your ear. And so you don't necessarily hear TalkBack really loud. TalkBack is in my earpiece, but the speakerphone is active for the Hangout situation. And on the Google Nexus, you hear TalkBack and everything because that's my microphone and all that's not ducked at the moment. It's just traditional. And you can hear someone else's TalkBack running on the Google Nexus. Same thing with iOS. I could sort of hear Ricky's voiceover running in the background. So remember that you will have some speech bleed over to if you're using a non-wired situation and relying completely on a speaker phone kind of configuration.
Yes, indeed. And if you want to avoid that, you don't want people to hear you navigating around the screen and looking for the mute microphone button, etc., you can certainly use headphones to minimize that.
And the video quality is much better coming off of Ricky's iPhone because of the better camera, of course. But the video quality on the real low 1.5-ish meg camera off the Nexus is pretty washed out. Like I was saying to Ricky earlier, hey, I recognize that geometric shape as being Ricky because I know what Ricky looks like. So
it is somewhat human.
You're not going to get great quality. When we initiated the call on the iPhone, I actually got facial color. She didn't look like she was vampiric. So
even
that was
though
also
I am
pretty important. Yes, this is true. This is why we only have you go out at night. So there are some little brief overviews there. We may get into Google Hangouts, the app, later as we play with it more, or if Google updates that a little more. So again, from Google Plus, launch your Google Plus on your Android tablet. Up at the top left, you'll hear something that says navigation menu. And if you tap on that, that'll open up a sidebar that runs down the left side of the screen. Flick or move your finger down to Hangouts. And when you get to Hangouts, you'll get a gigantic list of those people that you've friended or those in your circles. I went ahead and added Ricky, who is in my circles, and it was a real simple thing. I just ran my finger over her, tapped on that, and that added her. And then at the bottom of the screen, it says Start Hangouts, and then it'll make the call, and it'll give you some status. So what we thought we would do is do that, and we would roll through that for you, and then I would take a call from Ricky in a different location. So that way you could hear the quality of this. It is actually pretty fast. We're actually wearing headsets and going through another audio service so we could hear ourselves while doing this. And then when we initiated the calls, it was almost simultaneous. There wasn't very much lag at all.
No, and one more note I wanted to make about audio is that for other things that I've recorded from the Google Nexus, for example, using Audioboo on the Nexus, at least in the past, there's been a very high-pitched whine coming from the microphone that is picked up by that program, and I'm not hearing that in Google Plus or in Hangouts. So I don't know if they have fixed the microphone whine overall. I'll need to do another Audioboo, or if this is just a matter of Google Plus completely cuts that out, whereas other services might magnify it a little.
And if you have Google Plus on multiple devices, all of your devices will ring at once. So you'll have it on your Nexus, and if you had your phone in the other room, as I did, someone ran in and told me, hey, you're getting a call. And I went, yeah, I on my phone too. So both my devices rang at once because they're both logged into Google Plus. So just know that if you drop your phone behind the couch, this might be another way to be able to find it. Because Ricky was able to call herself on a call. I'm not sure how I did that, but
it happened.
Yeah. So how do you want to go about this first? Should we take a look at Google Plus app on my tablet, or you want to go first? How do we want to do this?
Well, why don't you show us what the interface looks like first, and then I'll give you a call from an undisclosed location.
Ooh, all right. I will grab my old Nexus 7 here, unlock, and I'll turn this up a little.
Screen 3. Tap to select. Tap and hold to long press.
Okay, so I'm going to go into Google Plus.
Recent apps. Recent app. Google Plus. Google Plus.
Okay, and I'm going to...
Navigate up. Hangouts. Edit box. Enter a name. Email. A circle. Ricky. Start Hangout button. Google Plus.
And there you go. You hear all my devices ringing at once.
Exit. Google Plus. This video
call. For whatever reason, it continues to ring even though I missed it.
How could you do that?
You missed this call. I'm just going to keep ringing even though it's stopped now. So you see how in this edit box, if you had a whole lot of friends and you didn't want to find them by moving your finger around the screen, you could type in a portion of that person's name or their entire name and just find them and double tap them. Then you'll be able to start your Hangout. Once you're in the Hangout, you can invite other people, or as Joe said, you can create an entire circle and just call that circle.
And you actually, when you're in the video call itself, you can actually add people to it. So like Skype, you can actually extend this out, especially if they're already in your Google contacts or in G+.
So now I'm going to move to an undisclosed location and call from both the Nexus and an iDevice.
Video.
Aha, who could this be?
Answer button. Decline button. Video call from Ricky. Decline button. Answer button. Video call. Mute audio.
All right. So there we are. And oh my goodness, I can see the outdoors. Wow.
Wow. Amazing.
I also learned that it doesn't wrap. So if you flick in one direction, you will hit a wall. And you do have to flick in the other direction. So unlike in some apps where you'll actually wrap to the top and come back to the bottom, that didn't seem to be the case in our demo right now. So learning as we go, as we do this. So
right.
I'm going to actually run my finger along some of the controls here.
Navigate up. Exit. Add people. Hangout. Add people. More options.
Now I'm going to come to the bottom.
Mute audio. Audio. Mute video.
Okay. So, like Ricky was saying, that you couldn't really see those in iOS, but you can on the Android device. The more options is about and help, so you won't get a whole lot there. Hangouts, you can initiate more. You can add invite others, as you heard. The mute audio and mute video, kind of self-explanatory. If you want to save on battery life, you could certainly mute the video. If you're looking, though, for some of the audio choices that we were talking about, that's in that middle button on the bottom.
Audio. Showing four items. Speaker. Check. Wired headphones. Handset earpiece. Bluetooth. Disabled. Back. Video call.
Okay, so we definitely have that going. And when you're doing this, you actually do have the opportunity to sort of see yourself in a Hangout while you're talking to the other person. So I can sort of see a picture in the bottom left or bottom right of this to be able to see. So you kind of get an idea of what you look like. So you're not making strange faces to the person who's now looking at you making strange faces. Not that she does that. But there is that opportunity.
Mic and camera settings.
Mute and audio. By the way, it's very, very clear, and I will demonstrate this here as well. Speech comes through quite a lot on the Nexus 7. There is no noise cancellation whatsoever, so you should be able to hear.
It sounds like you're at Bush National Gardens. You're at a tropical rainforest there.
That's right. And can you hear the can you hear my speech here as well?
Yeah, just a little bit. Not as good as the birds.
Yeah, that's funny. And my speech isn't actually that loud.
So if you're doing this with other individuals, you will have them hearing what you're going on in the background. So no typing dirty things behind someone's back. It'll just come right on through the Google Hangout.
Indeed.
So what we'll do next is you were calling from the Nexus 7.
Yep. Let's try this now from iOS.
All right.
What's the proof?
Exit. Exit. Hang up.
Okay, so I've exited
Ricky,
out of here.
11th, Ricky. Home. Home screen 3.
And we'll just
tap to select.
Wait
tap
until she calls us back here. And she'll call us back from the iPhone.
Video call. Home. Showing item, home screen 3. Ricky, 1:08 p.m. Hangout with Ricky, showing items 1, navigate up, on go, Rick video call.
Aha, and there we are again.
This time I did what you did. I made the foreground window go away, and so I had to then get to it from notifications. And when I went into notifications, it was the top one. It said Ricky was calling, and it gave me the time. I tapped in there. It brought me to my Google Hangouts app, and it said ongoing Ricky call. And I tapped on that, and that answered the call for me.
Interesting.
So that's how you do it from notifications. Because earlier when we were working on this, Ricky was not seeing the box that I was demonstrating earlier on how to accept the call. And the box would sometimes go away for her. And so doing your gesture to get into notifications, it tends to be the very top notification. So you want to tap on that. That'll take you into either the Hangout app or probably Google Plus. And in that, up at the top, it said ongoing conversation. I tapped on that, and that brought up the call automatically, just as if I had said accept call.
And my Nexus, which is beside me now, just notified me that I'm in an ongoing video call. Now, I don't know if I could join it from this device, too.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That would be funny.
Ricky in stereo! Yeah, something like that. But low vision-wise, definitely a change in quality. I can see more of the outside behind Ricky. I can see more of her. It's a better camera, of course, so that's part of it. The birdies are not coming through as much, so I wonder if that's the noise cancellation of iPhone.
Yes. Now I'm going to try and join the video call from this other device.
This may explode.
Beginning to join this video call.
Oh my.
Cats and dogs, mass hysteria.
Ricky Inga. Ricky Inga. Mic and camera settings.
Okay,
mute audio. Back.
I had to say oops, I thought I did.
Audio. Unmute audio.
Sorry, I'm muted.
Mute audio. Ricky Inga.
So there's a box down at the bottom left that says Ricky Inger when you join the call, and it's your other device. And I thought I could tap over there to bring that to the foreground. I'm not sure if I can or can't.
Ricky Inga.
Oh, I did. Okay, yeah. So now I'm on your
Ricky
Nexus.
Ricky Inga left this video call.
Okay, somebody left the video. Which one of these devices left
the I'm not sure, but one of them did.
The iPhone left.
Yeah, I don't know why the iPhone left the call.
Well, fine.
Google people all hanging out and stuff. I don't want to be here.
So, that was weird because with the two videos, I actually could jump back and forth. It brought up a bar at the bottom of the screen. And so I had your iPhone in my main screen. And then below on the little bar, it said Ricky Inger. I tapped on that square and it brought up your Nexus to the main one and put your iPhone down at the bottom left in the bar. And I imagine that's where all your other Google Hangout people are, and you can just tap to see their viewpoint, you know, from their camera if you want to see it. If not, it goes down as little squares at the bottom left of your, you know, Google Hangout, so you can switch in between them. So that's interesting. That was done live, gang. We had no idea.
Turns out that the iPhone, when it left the call, it did so because Hangouts crashed. So there you go.
Awesome. I guess they're not ready for prime time with multi-platform.
Nope, but it did work, and there are some definite differences between what things look and sound like from each platform, namely because of the hardware.
Yeah. So this is Google Hangouts from Google Plus, and we will keep playing with this. Maybe we'll come back and play with it from the actual Hangouts app next month. But we just wanted to give you an idea that it can be done and that it is doable, and we just did it here on That Android Show.
Thanks for listening.
The email and Gmail apps that come with your Android phone are accessible. They're very similar. The difference is that the Gmail app is only for Gmail, and the email app is for other email accounts. I've used the Gmail app on phones running Android 2.2 and above. I've tested the email app only on devices running Android 4.0 and above. Today we'll go over the basics of using the Gmail and email apps. On my phone, I use the Gmail app to receive Gmail, and I use the email app to receive email from my freelance business. There are two ways to access your email. One is through the notification bar. I'm using TalkBack, so I'm going to use the TalkBack gesture for accessing the notification bar. That's a horizontal from left to right and vertical from top to bottom.
7:40, WED, May 1st, clear all notifications, quick settings, new bargain, 7:11 p.m., 100 MP3 albums for $5 each at Amazon, 5 new messages, 6:18 p.m., Google Play Drive, Oz's Fave Apps Plus new Android games and music hits from $3.99, Facebook Anna, you have 2 photo tags. 6 friend requests and 16 messages. LinkedIn jobs you may be interested in.
TalkBack told me how many messages I had available and read me the subject line and sender for each. If I explore the screen, 5 new messages are 1 notification item, so I'm going to find that and tap that. You can double tap or single tap depending on the version of Android you have.
5 new messages, 6. Gmail, showing items 1 to 7 of 11.
Okay, so Gmail has launched, and I'm in the inbox. I can explore the screen to hear the messages individually.
Facebook about Anna. LinkedIn updates. LinkedIn about jobs. You, Rebecca about FWD, FCC.
I want to read the message from Google Play, so I'm going to explore the screen until I get there, and then I'll single or double tap, depending on my version of Android.
Google Play about Drive, OZ's fave apps plus new Android games and music hits from $3.99. Google Play about Drive.
The important thing is to give the Gmail app a moment to load the message. If you try to read it too soon, you'll get frustrated because you won't hear anything. The message is probably loaded by now. So I'm just going to touch the screen about a third of the way up from the bottom and then flick. And I'm going to find out what it says. Notice that the voice is louder. And that's because it's not your screen reader speaking, it's the voice of Google.
Navigate up. 1 of 17, older. Dr. Oz's favorite health apps, link heading 1. The best-selling author and host of the award-winning Drive, Oz Show shares his top Google Play apps for living a healthier life.
Okay, so that's enough of this message. Now if I touch the bottom of the screen, roughly where you find your favorites bar on the home screen, that's the row where phone, people, apps, messaging, and browser are located. You'll find the following 5 controls.
Archive.
Archive.
Delete.
Delete.
Change labels.
Change labels. That has to do with how you organize your messages.
Mark unread.
Mark unread.
More options.
More options. If I touch more options here, I'll get settings for email, a place to report phishing or spam, things like that. If I touch the top of the screen below the notification bar and slide my finger down along the left edge, I'll find the following controls.
1 of 17.
This is the first message, so it says 1 of 17. If it were the second message, it would say newer or older, and I could touch it to move to the next or previous message.
Show contact information for Google Play.
Show contact information for Google Play. That'll show me the sender's email address.
To me, 6:18 p.m. Expand recipient details image.
Expand recipient details. That'll show me who the recipient is. It could be me or it could be a list. If I touch the top of the screen below the notification bar, along the right edge, I will find
1 of 17, older, inbox.
Again, the 1 of 17, which allows me to move to other messages.
Reply.
Reply.
More options.
More options. Now, if I touch more options near reply, that'll allow me to reply, reply all, or forward. In this top right corner below the notification bar, I also find a star control.
Add star.
To the left of reply. And this is how I would flag a message that I think is important. Beyond that, the app works pretty much as you would expect. I'm going to go ahead and delete this message. So I'm going to touch delete in the lower left-hand corner of the screen.
Archive. Delete.
Now when I touch the screen, I find the next message.
Facebook update plus CJ4 ounces 64Z9 Celsius at facebookmail.com.
All right, I can touch the lower third of the screen to read the message.
Image link.
Hear it getting louder?
You have new notifications. A lot has happened on Facebook since you last logged in. Here are some notifications you've missed from your friends.
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt it there. The email app is very similar, and it works in pretty much the same way. Like Gmail, I can access the email app from notifications. If I don't have any email or Gmail messages and notifications, I can launch the apps manually. So I'm going to launch the email app manually. by going to the home screen.
Home. Home screen 3 of 5.
Touching apps.
Apps. Showing item 3 of 5.
Locating email.
Downloads. Apps page 2 of 5. Email. Showing items 1 to 7 of 10.
All right, this is an email account I use for a freelance business. I get a lot of promotional email related to this business. I'm going to explore this screen until I get to one of these advertisements.
Subject, diversify your income. 45-day free trial of e-selling website localization tool.
So this is a promotion for some software called EasyLing. I'm going to open the message. Give it a moment to load. Touch the lower third of the screen.
Do you want to simplify website translations? View this email in your browser link. Free trial for pros members. If you've ever felt that the steps of website localization are unnecessarily complicated, and you found yourself dealing with cumbersome word counting tasks, format conversions or layout compatibility problems, you will appreciate our all-in-one website localization tool.
All right, so the message continues to describe this wonderful software it wants me to try. I'm going to touch the bottom of the screen, roughly where the favorites bar is on the home screen. Again, that's where phone, people, apps, messaging, and browser are. And the controls in the email app are
delete,
move,
mark as unread,
newer,
older,
more options. If I touch the top of the screen near the notification bar, I will find the subject line.
Diversify your income. 45-day free trial of e-selling website localization tool.
Keeps sliding down.
Pros.com advertising partner.
That's the sender. Pros.z advertising partner. That's my address.
Show pictures button.
Show pictures if I want to do that.
Advertising at pros.com.
If I slide my finger to the left of the sender, there's an unlabeled button.
Image 48, unlabeled.
You can touch that button to add the sender to your address book. If I touch the top right-hand corner of the screen, right below the notification area, and I slide my finger horizontally toward the edge, I find
Add star. Reply. More options.
Add star. Reply and more options. Notice that there are two more options buttons. The one that is at the top of the screen near the reply button is for reply, reply all, and forward. And the one that is near the bottom of the screen is for general email settings. Now I want to go to the next message, and I'm too lazy to close this one, so I just go to the controls that are near the bottom of the screen. I can touch newer or older. This happens to be the newest message I have, so newer is disabled.
Newer, disabled.
So I'm going to tap on older.
Older.
I'll give the email app a moment to load. I'll touch the top of the screen to find out what the subject is and who the sender is.
May Newsletter Origami Poems Project.
May Newsletter Origami Poems Project.
Origamipoems@gmail.com.
And the sender is origamipoems@gmail.com. And I'll touch the lower third of the screen to hear my message. I touch once and then flick.
Poetry news from an NBSP, Origami Poems HQ. Is this email not displaying correctly?
I tend to explore the screen rather than to flick, but I find that both in the email and Gmail apps, it's best just to flick. I don't always hear the message body when I'm exploring. Now in the Gmail app, if you don't like to hear the voice of Google, you can go into More Options, the one that's in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, and touch Mute. The stock email and Gmail apps that come with your phone are both accessible. They're very similar. The trick is to give the app a moment to load the message and to flick over the message body rather than explore.
Think you could easily get to your family if a disaster struck right now? Think you can wing it during an emergency because you're a New Yorker? Most parents don't realize that protecting your family starts long before an actual disaster strikes. It starts today by being prepared and making a plan.
To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. In this online tool, you'll be faced with real-life challenges, teaching you the importance of being prepared for a disaster.
Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, we are starting with the mail. We have a lot of iReports and a lot of email from all of you, and that's really fantastic. The first iReport we have today is from Ben. He went into a Verizon store and he checked out the Droid 4. He says he really likes it. I think, JJ, that's your phone, correct?
It is.
And so he was saying that he likes the keyboard. And so do you find it to be...
I love the keyboard.
Yeah, excellent, excellent.
I mean, it's the best keyboard out there as far as that I've seen, as far as, you know, current generation phones. And now that it's running Jelly Bean, there's some things that don't work on the keyboard, but hey, you have your touchscreen, and it's a really cool combination between the two. I'd still recommend it, and as last I checked, it is still available, if not from Verizon directly, through Amazon and some others.
In the UK, they're called the Milestones, apparently.
So is there a Milestone 4? I heard there wasn't.
I don't think there is a Milestone 4 in the UK, so there's even one less keyboard phone.
Wow,
in the UK. But I don't mind because I like complete touchscreen now. I'm well into that now, so I don't need a keyboard.
Yeah. Our next iReport is about the GS3. Let's listen.
This is for Did Android Show. I was just wondering if there's any good home screens for the Galaxy S3. I have my own keyboard. So if you could give me tips on that too, that would be awesome. Thank you. Goodbye.
So she says that she would like a better home screen for the GS3. Do either of you have anything to recommend?
Yeah, Nova Launcher, without doubt. Nova Launcher now I use even on my home, on my Nexus, my Galaxy Nexus. And you know why, Anna? Because you can double tap and hold an icon, and instead of dragging it to delete the icon, you can pick from a list of options, remove, edit, app info, or uninstall. So you can actually uninstall something directly from the home screen.
I actually like that. I mean, the original Android home screen from like 2.2 was like that. And I actually like that a little better than the dragging system.
Yeah, I do too. And also, the other nice thing about Nova Launcher is if you've already got your home screens laid out nicely, just how you like them, when you install Nova Launcher, it comes up with a setting on your home screen that says import from other launchers. So you just tap that, and then it says import from launcher, which is your stock launcher, and you, or a TouchWiz in the case of the Galaxy S3, and you say yes, and it imports your whole load of home screens exactly as you had them before.
Excellent.
Is everything pretty labeled as far as icons and things like that too? And
Yep, it's
how
perfect.
Do you move in the, you do two fingers swipe left and right, or how do you get between home screens?
Yep, it's exactly the same. So if I open this JJ here, you wouldn't know that I have got, you haven't got Nova Launcher. You wouldn't know that I've got Nova Launcher on here. Listen.
Home screen 4 of 5.
See?
Oh, wow.
Right, it just gives you more custom. Yeah, it gives you more custom.
Gives you lots more customization. However, if I tap one of these icons, just to show you, if I tap the Audible icon, now it's brought up a list. Now,
uninstall, Audible, uninstall app info, remove, edit.
See, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, excellent.
So you can actually remove it from the home screen. Edit, you can change the name of the icon.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't like what the program has called it, you could call Audible My Book Reader or whatever you want.
Is there any improvement how the stock home screens, you really can't effectively do folders because you're not sure you're dragging and dropping? Is that still an Android limitation? Is there any way around that?
It's still an Android limitation. It still does the same thing on Nova. But the nice thing about Nova, again, is that you can remove a folder. So if you put a folder on there by mistake, you can just tap and long hold it, and then you can select remove.
And start over.
That's good.
It's a lot easier than the stock launcher.
That's definitely, I'll definitely have to give that another look.
Yeah, me too. I'll have to try it.
And Casey and Alan, if you're listening, get devs to sort that the home screen out so we can do that.
How much is it? And I believe that one, that's a freemium model, I believe.
That's a,
free
one, yeah. Yeah, and there's no adverts either, which is nice.
Excellent.
Yeah, completely free. Okay.
Yeah, completely free.
I have to try it.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
All right, our next iReport comes from Jay.
Hi, this message is for episode 16 of That Android Show. My name is Jay, and I have a Nexus 4, and of course I'm running the latest Android and, you know, latest TalkBack and all that good stuff. I do, however, agree with Steve. As much as I do like the Nexus 4, I do have to agree with Steve. The mic is something that, well, can be approved on. Also, when you use the Nexus with external headsets and stuff, it creates some interesting background noise for stuff like voice over IP and all that. And the external headsets are a lot quieter than the built-in mics, which, of course, are a bit too loud. I think that's part of the problem. I also agree with Steve about acapella. I think it was JJ who said that he was having problems with acapella crashing at random. I've never actually seen those crashes in the latest versions of acapella. Actually, no, that's not true. I've seen, like, maybe one crash, but I don't remember what I was doing when it crashed. It's been a while. And so, yeah, acapella's been really nice. So, before I run out of time, I'm just going to say, like the show, and I'm looking forward to the Google I.O. episode. And all the best, guys.
I didn't give an iReport. Oh, it's a different...
I'm sorry. Oh, no, it's the Jay. Man with the Nexus 4, Jay. Isn't it?
Yeah, the man
He's
with the
Nexus 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, he agrees with me. I like you, Jay, because you're just one person who agrees with me. That's very nice. Most people don't, so thank you for that. The microphone on the Nexus 4 is crap. It really is bad. But it's a well-built phone, but I wouldn't go near LG because I don't like that mic.
And he also agrees with you about acapella, which is very groovy. And
yeah.
I've been using acapella recently.
We were talking about it before. Nice. It hasn't crashed since the latest update. It one was crashing every half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just using acapella then when we were looking at Nova Launcher as well.
There's so many different voices now. There's tons. There's quite a few different ones. Even not obnoxious voices. There's plenty of normal ones. Yeah. Although I'm going to get the next time I think for navigation, I'm like with in the car with people, I'm going to get the yelling acapella voice and have them be turn left and 200 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool stuff. So, yeah, nice to hear from you, Jay, and glad you're enjoying your Nexus 4.
All right, our next iReport comes from Nicole. She is using a Note 2, and let's listen.
Hi, my name is Nicole from Oklahoma, and I wanted to express my appreciation again for That Android Show. And I heard a message from someone who has low vision talking about the Galaxy Note 2, and I wanted to just express that I'm totally blind, and I really love that phone, the Samsung Galaxy Note 2. I don't really like the size of it, but it's one of the fastest phones I've ever had. I never have a problem with it freezing. Everything always seems to work on it, and I have a lot of really great success with it. And the battery life is also the best I've had, especially because I came from the Nexus S4G before that. So I just wanted to also let everyone know that totally blind people, if you like a good processor and a good phone with a good tech specs, then the Galaxy Note 2 is also good for totally blind people as well. So I really love That Android Show and hope it continues for a long time. It's my favorite podcast on the Seattle Tech Network. So thank you.
All right, so basically she's saying that the Note 2 is great for blind users as well as low vision users. So it's nice. It's nice to hear from people about the phones they're using. You know, that way we can spread the word about different devices.
Yeah. Try as he might, Mike can't buy all of the phones. So
the Note 2 is a tablet, though, isn't it, Anna? Isn't the Note 2 a tablet, not a phone?
Well, she mentions that it is bigger than usual. I haven't actually handled one, so I'm not sure. I do know it's bigger than... I think it's a phablet,
isn't it?
It's what they call a phablet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what they call
a
phablet.
Right. Moving on to our next iReport. This one comes from Matt, and he has a GS2.
Hey, what's up? My name is Matt. I'm actually calling to ask a question. Android, I have the Samsung Galaxy S2, and I'm wondering if there's a better keyboard than the stock Android keyboard, since they changed Explore by Touch. If someone could possibly help me out, that'd be awesome. Yep, love the show. Bye.
All right, so basically he doesn't like the on-screen keyboard and he wants a better one. So what can we suggest, people?
The Galaxy S2, anyone know what version of Android it's on? I'm not sure.
Well, I think the problem is TouchWiz, and I think he needs to install
But if he's on Ice Cream Sandwich, you'll need the Ice Cree keyboard. But if he's on Jelly Bean, you'll need the Jelly Bean keyboard.
Looks like at least one of them, I'm not sure if all the carrier versions have 4.1.
Oh, that's right.
The regular S2, at least the unlocked one, has 4.1 now.
So yeah, Jelly Bean keyboard will do it.
Which one are you using? Because outside of the TalkBack keyboard, I haven't heard of too many
The AOKP version, whatever it is. I can send a link over to it. Yeah, it's I think it's AOKP, something like that.
We'll link to
it. I'll look it up. Yeah, I installed it yonks and yonks ago. That's why I can't. Yeah.
So we have an email from Dennis. So Dennis is asking if it's possible to label buttons using TalkBack, and it is not.
Nope.
Nope, not at all. The best thing you can do is contact developers and ask them to label their buttons. So we have an email from Ken, and he's explaining that he's been using a feature phone with Verizon, and it's time to upgrade.
Yes.
So, sorry, Ken, but, you know, we all went through this painful process.
Just any feature phone. He's using the LG 4650. That's not even an NV or a Haven or anything. That's really old.
I had that phone. I want to say it was like my second or third phone.
2006? 2007? No, I'm amazed that still works.
I think it was earlier than that. It was very early.
Yeah, it's been a while. So what he wants to know about we're back on the Droid 4 and the keyboard for entering contacts and doing things like that. Yeah, generally, it's a really good keyboard for things like that. The only thing I've noticed, at least with the Contacts app that comes with the Droid 4, is sometimes you have to swipe or arrow to the edit box, double tap, and then you can use your keyboard. It won't always focus in when you use the keyboard arrows, but that's minor. But, I mean, using it to enter in phone numbers and names, I have no problem adding contacts. And there's probably even other Contacts apps that are even better, but the stock one works really well, and the keyboard will serve you well for doing things like that.
Excellent.
Got an email here from Chris. They bought themselves a Nexus 7 tablet, and comparing it to an Arcos G9. That's funny. I also had an Arcos G9, and yeah, the comparison between, if you ever tried out one of those old Arcos tablets compared to the Nexus 7, it's night and day. He wanted to pick up on Aquamail and say that they definitely agreed. Aquamail is a really cool, accessible email program, so that's one. If you haven't checked it out yet, go check that out.
Yeah,
definitely calls it. Yeah, you have that, right, Steve?
Yeah, it's excellent, Aquamail. The only thing I'd say is it doesn't do conversation view, so you can't do any thread viewing. Yeah, but once he introduces
I've quite used to that.
He tells me it's on the roadmap, but
that's one of those things. You know, good. Like when you've never done conversation view for email or for text message, you're like, what's the big deal? But as soon as you see it, like. God, you remember when your text messages were just all in a row and you just they would just go back and forth between people?
Yes.
It's so much different.
Yeah.
He throws in a couple more book reading apps on top of a Moon Reader. He listened to your Moon Reader review, Steve, and said he liked that. Go Read, which is the Bookshare app. Read Books, which I've never tried.
No,
I have neither. What?
It's something called Auto Reader 3G, or 3D. So those last two, I'm not as familiar with. If you could maybe send us an email and tell us what you like about those, I'd be kind of interested to see that.
Yeah. We should
check them out. Mentioned some audiobook readers. He mentions Cool Reader, Smart Book Reader, and this third one I haven't heard of, and it's Listen Audiobook Reader.
Cool Reader is not an audiobook reader, is it? That's an EPUB reader.
I didn't think it was, but he mentions it as an audiobook reader.
Another maybe one I'd add Another one I would add to that list, at least as far as manipulating MP3s and audiobooks, is Akimbo. That's one that the developer made accessible way back in the day.
Yeah.
It was one of the first that I ever contacted, AKIMBO, and there's a free and pro version of that.
And finally, our last two pieces of email come from Jim. He says that he went into a store and he tried the HTC One. He said he thought it was a good phone in the time he tested it. He does not like the on-screen keyboard. It sounds like it's like the TouchWiz keyboard that some people don't like.
Right, but again, you can get a replacement for that, so that's easily fixable. Right.
Yeah, it sounds like the Sense UI isn't as invasive, but we haven't heard from somebody who's used the newer Sense UI phones and can tell us just how
The buttons and notifications shade weren't labeled, he said. The ones to clear notifications and persist. That's an odd thing to not work.
That really
or
is.
Not have labeled.
I fancy that in a way because I like the stereo speakers. It's got stereo speakers.
Oh, wow. The HTC one?
On the front. Yes, it has, wow. Yeah, so the speakers are quite decent. They go very loud. The Galaxy Nexus, the big letdown is the speakers. The speaker,
yeah, the speaker
really
isn't anything to write home.
So bad, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. In all Nexus phones.
And his last piece of email simply notices that if you go into the Play Store and read the TalkBack reviews, they're all by-sided people who bag on TalkBack. Well, they obviously don't know what it's about, but I like reading those because I think they're kind of amusing.
Well, you know, it's kind of the same. If you ever want to get really annoyed, you know, find some really inspirational article about a blind person and then go down and read the comments. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, or the same, you never like Engadget or The Verge does one of those stories about, you know, some new app for the blind. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you got to have a pretty, hard heart just to read those because you just got to take them with what they are.
Yeah.
We call them trolls in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
That's what they are. If you want to send us an iReport play report, we got to call this something else. You know,
I think it's a play report.
I know it's iBlink Radio. That's what the app was called, and that's it was on the iPhone first. But it's a Seraph Talk Podcast Network, so it can be an SPN report. Send us a report, right?
Yes.
You can do it through the iBlink Radio app. You can email resources at serotalk.com. You can go to thatandroidshow.com, thatandroidshow on Twitter. And thank you for all of the feedback. We really appreciate it. We have so many of them. We can't always get through all of them. And we've been getting quite a few lately. So we do really appreciate it. Let us know what phones you're getting, which ones you're seeing. I know there's some other keyboard phones that are out there. Any of you that have found them, let us know. There's one on Boost that's running 4.0. So, you know, you still have some new phones that are coming out with with older Android, which is a little interesting and frustrating. But
yes. We
know there's more coming. And let us know what you see. And we would love to hear from you. Well, that's going to do it for our special Google I.O. edition of That Android Show. From Blind Bargains and AT Guys, I'm JJ Meadow.
I'm Max S. Emma.
And I'm Steve, the Blind Geek.
That's going to do it. We're going to talk to you again in just a few weeks. Let us know what you want to hear. Thank you all for listening.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.